We are gathering together unto Him. We are gathering together unto Him. Unto Him shall the gathering of the people be. We are gathering together unto
this morning, because we, I believe, mustn't lose sight of what we are destined for. We mustn't lose sight of the way God is working and preparing the overcomers in this last days. Sometimes our trials and the tests that we go through can take our eyes away from the purpose of seeing what God is ultimately doing in and through our lives. Hallelujah. So I'm calling our teaching this morning, God is purging the man-child company. God is purging the man-child company. And we trust as we go over many of these things that we have looked at over the years, that it's going to just encourage and show that there is a divine plan and purpose in what God is doing. It is not by mistake, because many times it seems as though we've lost our way, or I have lost my way, and we wonder what this is really all about. But we have to remember that those experiences that we go through, and they're quite often, are all instrumental. They're all part of the purging that God is doing with the man-child company. And much of this purging, as we are well aware, is this deliverance in our mind, in our thinking, these attitudes. It's a deliverance in the mind so that God can get to our faith. He can get to the heart. It's the parable of the sower. And the amount of seed that goes into the heart is entirely up to us as we come week after week hearing the word. You go away after hearing the word, and it is very dependent on how you have heard it. This is why so often we encourage you to take notes, to write things down sometimes that speaks, so that you can take that before the Lord. So that this can become part of your prayer or intercession and supplication. Why do I emphasize this so much? Because it's about getting it into the heart. Because when it is established in the heart, you are not battling in the mind any longer. The reason Satan attacks us so much in the mind, because he has a certain amount of insight to see that it's not really yet faith. You know, the irony of all of this is, sadly, the powers of darkness can see things about us more than we can see ourselves at times. But thank God for the Holy Spirit, who is sovereign and who is in complete control. And God wants us to be very wise, very sensitive, walking humbly before God so that he can do this precious work. There are so many things around each day that are trying to attack us, that are trying to oppress us. We have been looking at them, these fiery darts. And that is why he's making us men and women who walk by faith and faith alone. Because Jesus said, didn't he, in Luke 18, when he returns, shall I find faith on the earth? With a question mark. Or will I find a people who are faithful, who are believing, committed to me and me alone? So we're going to look at some things this morning just to familiarize ourselves and to encourage ourselves that your walk is no mistake. It's a divine appointment. It has been predestined before the foundation of the world. Why you? Why me? Why this time? Why at the end times? Why seeing the great falling away now? Only God knows. But God has made no mistake of the timing of you and I and this dispensation that we find ourselves in. So God is purging the Man-Child Company. I want to remind us again as we read Revelation 12. And here in Revelation 12 it reads, "Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born." So that speaks there of the rebellion, the fall from heaven. And because of that rebellion, that fall from heaven, Satan now is trying to attack. He not only tried to attack Messiah coming as Savior to the earth, but he's also trying to attack the man-child, the saviors of the earth of this last day. "She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to his throne." She being the church of this last dispensation. "Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days, which of course speaks that the man-child is caught away, and the woman who received in this last day through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit that Haggai speaks about, was the seed planted into the woman to bring forth the overcomers. And she, in many ways, is blinded to this, even though she is pregnant, spiritually speaking. She isn't really aware what she is carrying, which reveals the tragedy and state of the church in this last day, this Laodicean church that God is challenging to buy this eye cell that she can see. So she doesn't even know that she is pregnant. That is the tragedy. That is what centuries without the baptism of the Spirit, Christ being head over the body, has done to professing believers. But you are not of that Spirit. Praise God. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and the angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. And there is our battle of the last dispensation. Our warfare that we are learning about and we're being trained is bringing Michael, the archangel, on our defense. So this is a lot bigger than we realize, brothers and sisters. And it goes on, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Where is it? In the heavens. So our battle is spiritual, in the heavens. We are weakening the powers of Satan, his army. And through our warfare, through our faith, we are calling those ministering angels to fight on our behalf. Not by might, nor by power, by my Spirit, says the Lord. And the battle is not ours. The battle belongs to Michael. And we are preparing that way that they come forth to fight. Just like Daniel, who was fasting and praying and up against the Prince of Persia, there's a similar likeness happening. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his anger was cast, and his angels were cast out with him. So he's going to be cast out. How is he cast out? By dividing his kingdom. That is how it's achieved. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. In other words, the accuser that hinders and stops healing, deliverance, salvation. Because that is what he does. He's at present the God of this world, and he blinds the eyes. Notice what happens when he's cast down. He loses his power in which to do that. And that is why we will see the greater works. A harvest of souls will come in to the kingdom of God, because his power has been broken. Who hinders and stops all of that? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. In other words, it is a restoring, bringing back to the gospel, to the word of God, that you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and not by some leader or a pope or a denomination. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word, the testimony of God, the word of God. It's all there. This is why we have a revelation of all of this now, brothers and sisters, that sadly so many don't see. We've had revelation of the blood of Jesus and what it is and how we apply that blood to our lives, to overcoming against the powers of darkness and the pure word of God. For faith comes by hearing the word of God. Why? To walk by faith. And they did not love their lives to death. There is the cross, the teaching of the cross. That giving up of the self life. Yes, even if it were unto death. It's all there if we look. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time, and that it will start off the tribulation, the great tribulation, and Satan will go forth and make war. And it will look for a season as though he's won through the Antichrist. And the blood of the martyrs and the blood of God's people again being spilt will bring back Messiah, Jesus, to the earth. So we are facing these events shortly to come. And that is why I'm calling this teaching, God is purging the man-child company. We are in the fire, being purified. That is the nature of the deeper life. And those that don't like it, they can get out of it. And sadly, we've seen some of our brothers and sisters who've removed themselves from that purging because they don't like it. They've had enough. They've lost their way. They've lost sight of the overcomers, the man-child company. And that is why it is so important that we keep this in our vision all the time. Because when we hold to this, the revelation of Revelation 12, it makes sense. It makes spiritual sense of your life and my life and what God is doing. And that he has not made a mistake. As I have said so often, this is far, far bigger than your life, my trials, what I'm going through, because we can so at times be centered in ourselves. This is why we need to have a revelation embracing the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And he says, all these things will be added and infinitely more. God still has to open our eyes in FGA to what he's doing. And that is why he works on this self-life, delivering us from it, so that we are not consumed in our lives, our marriages, our children, our job, and all those things that, yes, they're going to be with us. They don't change. Have you found your circumstances haven't changed in years? You're crying out to God, the same prayers coming up, year after year, Lord, give me a break. How long is this going to go on for? It's going to go on until you learn to take your eyes off yourself and self-pity. Poor me. Why is this happening to me? We know why this is happening. Because God is purging the sons of God. And a lot of this purging is deliverance in the mind, in the thinking, so that we get free to receive that seed of faith within our hearts, that faith that he wants of us that will move mountains, a faith that is ready to embrace the greater works of the last day. That is ultimately what it is. But sin blinds us so often with that pride. If there is pride in your life, there is sin as well. The two go hand in hand because it's the devil's problem. And he wants you to have it as well. You see, for many centuries, the unbelieving church has been living as a widow without the headship of Christ. She's lost her husband. She lost her way, no longer experiencing the baptism of the Spirit, the power of God. For centuries she has lived like that and has been without all of this. But the Holy Spirit now has been outpoured in these last days, in which the power of God will bring forth the man-child company. So that indeed she could be conceived. The seed could be placed into her. And as I read to you earlier, she's blinded. She doesn't even see she's pregnant. She doesn't even see what she's producing. Isn't that tragic? And that's what God says to the Laodicean church. He's calling her to repent. Calling her to have her eyes and ears open. But she will not. She's proud. Arrogance. Why do we need to hear this? We're doing all right. Our church is highly successful. We've got thousands that come to our congregation. But she can't handle when you hear, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. They don't like that sort of teaching. Because success to them is how many seats they can fill. But God has had mercy over us. And God has turned us around in our tracks. And God is delivering us from all that religious deception. And he's showing that your trials, your purging, is for a greater purpose. We have so much to look forward to. We have so much that we are being prepared for these last days. How could we ever doubt? And so God planted that seed into the woman. Why did he do this? Because there was a remnant crying out for more. Crying out that there's got to be more to this walk than just what I see and what I'm experiencing. And that's what God does. He puts that spiritual hunger within you. And that hunger, as we're told, is a hunger for more of God. And when you have more of God, as the scriptures tell us, you will be filled. Because man is made in the image of God. And what he doesn't realize is he has a tremendous appetite for God. And that is why they look to other things, to idols, to different religions. That's why we have all these religions and all this stuff that is around the world, because man has this appetite for God. He's made in the image of God. It's been divinely put there within us. But few find the right food, the right filling. That is the tragedy. As we know, there are foods that can do you good, that are nutritional to you, and there are others that doesn't do you any good. It's called junk food, and we hear much about it. We'd put that over to the spiritual. And so the seed has been placed into the woman. And we believe that the child is almost ready to be born. We know that because we're shown Satan's there trying to devour this child that is to be born. And as we know, it takes the fullness of God's time. And he's not going to have any premature birth. He's not going to have any complications. This is going to be a swift, free, divine, supernatural deliverance. That is what he's going to do with this. We know this back in verse 4. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bears a male child who was to rule the nations, and she's caught up to God's throne. In other words, it means this child, the man-child company, is snatched away, raptured, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's that quick. Because the Lord knows what Satan is up to. And there we are supernaturally protected. That is God fighting on our behalf to preserve and protect us. Because if he doesn't do that, we will be devoured. Doesn't that show how we are thrown completely upon the Lord? And it will be caught away, as we've read in verse 5. And so we see today, as the mother church, this Laodicean church, has rejected this present move of the Spirit. And sadly, as we know, she has to go into great tribulation to be purged of what? Her unbelief. It always comes back to faith, brothers and sisters. Verse 6, then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, which speaks of your ministry also encouraging the woman at that time. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, entering into the great tribulation. You see, Israel did the same, didn't she? She rejected her man-child. She rejected her Messiah, Jesus. She rejected her call to be mature sons. And how history repeats itself, doesn't it? Because there's nothing new under the sun. And so the church today is rejecting this call to be part of the man-child, which is being formed in her womb. But we see that there will be a purging of this, the same as there's going to be a purging in the last days for Israel, and a purging for the church, and also the woman that is left. Let's look at Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 1. This speaks of a prophecy of the end times. Daniel 12, verse 1. And that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And all the time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Here we have these prophecies written centuries before Christ, pointing to what God will do in the last days. How about Zechariah? Zechariah 14, verses 1 to 5, again speaks of the last day. Zechariah 14, verses 1 to 5. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the house rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall be moved toward the north and half of it toward the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azal. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in those days of Azar, king of Judah. Thus says the Lord my God, will come, and all saints with you. Again, these tremendous insights, promises of what is coming in the last days. It's absolutely encouraging, isn't it? We see in chapter 12 of Zechariah, verse 10, "And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace, supplication, and they will look on me whom they pierce. Yes, they will mourn for him as the mourners for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for his firstborn." And so it goes on. And this is what God will do with his ancient people. So he hasn't forgotten them. There will be a remnant that he will save also, and he will open their eyes to see the one that they rejected. This is why it is a divine work. This is why God has to open our eyes. We don't see or know otherwise. We honestly think we know sometimes. We honestly think we're so sincere and we're right, but we can be so wrong, because we are utterly dependent on God revealing these things. And when you really see that, then you rejoice, then you praise and worship God, and you are so thankful that he's had mercy over your life. "I have done nothing to be able to see this or experience this. Why me? I'll never know. But all I do know is that I will thank him throughout eternity." God loves a thankful heart from his people. And so the church, as we're looking, will be purged of her unbelief through the tribulation. We've already seen this back in Revelation 12, where she flees into the wilderness and where God preserves her. Because if he doesn't preserve the woman that is left after the overcomers have been raptured, taken, then nothing will survive. Satan is out to destroy anyone who confesses Christ or Christ as their Savior. He's out to try and destroy the Holy Spirit's work, but of course he can't. There are some that hold that the Holy Spirit will be removed through that time. I don't believe that, because without the Holy Spirit, nobody ever gets saved. The Holy Spirit is needed to teach God's people, to teach us the Word of God. That is part of his ministry. And so we see that a remnant is saved out of great tribulation. Many are martyred for the faith. Well, that takes the Holy Spirit for them to go to martyrdom. So I believe the Holy Spirit, in God's mercy, will still be present, ministering, calling lives. But he's purging them of their unbelief, their hardness of heart, their stubbornness, that refusal to walk by faith. And there are so many of professing believers who refuse to walk by faith, because it's easier to trust in the arm of the flesh. And God isn't giving FGA any rest or peace with regard to us still trusting in the arm of the flesh, and we're still doing it. But I've noticed he doesn't give us any rest at all. And I thank God that he doesn't, because that is my prayer for all of us and for myself. Lord, don't give any of my brothers and sisters any rest or peace while they're still trusting in the arm of the flesh. And do you know what? God is answering those prayers. That is one of the greatest prayers we can pray for one another. Now, a lot would say that sounds very harsh and very unloving to me. I don't think so. I think that sounds like wisdom. That sounds like the love of God, preserving and keeping us from man. Man experiments on us. He tries new ideas on us, gives us new things to think about. Who wants to be in the hands of flesh, who experiments, who tries new things out? God never works that way. Everything that God gives to us from above is pure and holy, and it's been tried and tested in the fiery furnace. God doesn't work that way with us. He's not going to let us go. You won't go under if you stand trusting, believing the Lord. But we all know that Rome was not built in a day. And we all know that we're a work in progress. And he's working with us both to will and do for his good pleasure. But brothers and sisters, do not deceive yourself with regard to the walk of faith. There are going to have to be decisions we're going to make. And I have cried out in God's mercy, do whatever it takes. Please don't put me to one side because I'm battling in an area where I'm finding it difficult to believe and trust you. That is meaning business with God. That is not pretending, pushing it under the carpet. Oh, well, I'll face it tomorrow. Because tomorrow never comes. God is going to get the overcomers, the man-child, to walk totally by faith in this last day. I don't know how he's going to do it. That isn't my concern. All I know is that my faith, my confession, my desire, my want, my prayers is, Lord, whatever it takes, do it with me. Here am I, Lord, do it with me. I'm not looking to anybody else who's walking totally by faith to encourage me. Because if you're looking to somebody else who's taken that step of faith, oh, well, if they can do it, then I can do it. You've got it wrong. You're still not looking to the Lord. Here am I, use me. And if you've got that heart and you're in faith for that, then you will see what God, Almighty God, will do through you. And you don't have to look to anyone else. But sadly, at times we've done this, haven't we? Because that is insecurity, it's unbelief, it's still sin in our lives that does this. But we are seeing here how God is purging the overcomers who will come forth. And we know she will come forth because we read it. It's all there. The victory is already won. It's going to be accomplished. It's going to be done. No matter what Satan's trying to say. And did you know that Satan is the closest to us, the man-child? He's not so close to a lot of others because they're believing him. But he's close to us because he's being exposed and we're seeing it and we're a threat. So let that be an encouragement to spur you on and not believe his lies. Because we're soon to be snatched, to be caught away. And so the woman who goes into great tribulation, as we've seen in verse 7, she continues until Christ returns to the earth. Many in that time will go through great martyrdom. Much blood, sadly, will be spilt. And that blood that is being spilt through God's ancient people, Israel, the remnant that's returning, her eyes that are being opened, and also the woman who's being purged to get back to faith to believe again, the very blood of the martyrs will bring Messiah, and his feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives, and he will win the battle over the Antichrist, his armies. And who follows Messiah? You do. To minister with him, to establish the millennial reign upon the earth for 1,000 years. This is why you are in preparation, brothers and sisters. What you are facing, you haven't really seen anything yet to what you are destined for. Let's have some scriptures as we bring this to its conclusion. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And God says, unless those days are shortened, no flesh will be saved. In other words, unless he preserves, unless God's got a remnant, unless the Holy Spirit is still working, no one will survive this to what is coming in these last days. That's what he's meaning there. Let's look at verse 30. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And it says he sends forth his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So look at the great event of God bringing out firstly, the first fruits, because the first fruits are always seen first from the harvest. And then the rest of the harvest is brought in. And look at the great event that will take place. Look at his ministering angels that go forth and are prepared to do this in the last days. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, which says, so that he may establish your heart blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So that's what he's coming with. He's coming with the saints, the overcomers, those who now are going through the purging now, those who are now paying the cost. Sonship costs, brothers and sisters. It's training. It's discipline. Sometimes it's not always easy. Sometimes it offends us. Sometimes we want to run away. I've had enough. But that is what he's doing. And that is why he has great mercy and compassion upon us. Because he knows this work that he's doing. Because he loves his bride that's making herself ready. He loves her so, so much. He is so in love with her. And one day we're going to get that from our heads to our hearts.
unto me. Take my yoke upon me.